Star quarterback from inside the state of Tennessee will make his announcement about 3 hours from right now. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Josh Heupel, who is closing out his first month on the job as Tennessee's head coach. We have a big guest lineup. Tennessee basketball associate head coach Mike Schwartz will join us coming up at 12:15, so he'll stop by in a little more than 10 minutes. Barrett Salee of CBS Sports will be by to talk college football at 12:30, and we will talk to Grant Ramey from GoBalls 247 at 2:15. About Tennessee's game at Auburn tomorrow. Two basketball games to go, and we know, to close out the regular season tomorrow and then next Sunday against Florida. So we'll get to that on today's show. Eric Kane, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Yeah, doing well. Happy to be here.
A few things going on with Tennessee sports right now.
I'd say, yeah, it's a big day, of course. You've got the commitment announcement coming up as we get off the air. A big basketball game coming up tomorrow. So, yeah, just a couple of things going on.
Yes, so we will talk about all of it today. Eric Hain, of course, you know him from the starting lineup every morning with Will and Tyler from 6 to 9 a.m., also host of the Locked On Vols podcast, and today host on Sports 180. 656-9900 if you would like to join us today as we begin today's show taking a look around the sports world.
The biggest news, the main stories, the headlines that have everyone talking. It's time to take a look around the sports world.
Eric, I should also mention you do a little recruiting work covering that for VolQuest.com, and there will be big recruiting news today. That is the news of where Ty Simpson is going to play college football. Handicap the race, as it looks like Alabama, Clemson, and Tennessee for the Martin, Tennessee five-star quarterback.
Yeah, it's a big one coming up, and I don't think anyone really knows, you know, what direction this is going to go. I think that we all believe that Clemson and Alabama are kind of in the leaderboard. I think Alabama thinks it's Clemson. Clemson thinks it's Alabama. I think everyone thinks Tennessee's in third. But, hey, Tennessee's in this race, and it'll be interesting to see what Ty Simpson decides to do. But I would put Tennessee in third right now, just my opinion.
And Josh Heupel's worked very hard here in the first month on the job to try to get Ty Simpson to give as much consideration to the Vols. And he's always shown a lot of interest in Tennessee when Jeremy Pruitt was the head coach. Of course, there a month is not quite as much time as Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban, if that.
No, and Josh Heupel, you're right. I mean, Josh Heupel's been on the phone, on the computer, doing Zoom. He's done everything that he possibly can in the short amount of time. It's only been a month. I think tomorrow will be the one-month anniversary of him being on the job in Knoxville, and he's devoted that time to trying to connect and trying to get back in this race with Ty Simpson. So if Ty Simpson does not choose Tennessee today, it is not because of Josh Heupel. That is for sure, because Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban both have had a year's worth of head starts and obviously have better positioning in terms of the programs right now.
On the basketball side of things, Tennessee will play at Auburn tomorrow, noon Eastern time tip-off. We'll talk about that game with Mike Schwartz in 10 minutes. And Joel Silverberg, we learned yesterday that Tennessee will close out the regular season at home on Sunday, March 7th against Florida, a makeup game from several weeks ago. I think that's good for Tennessee, one, to have a chance to boost the resume. It'll be at home. It's a senior day opportunity for Tennessee. And I would say as much basketball as they can get in before the tournament would be good. What did you think hearing that news yesterday that Tennessee will play one more game?
Thought it was good news. I think it's a matter of ensuring that you get as many reps as you can, especially if Josiah Jordan-James is going to be healthier moving forward, getting him some more time on the court as well, and missing a game against a quality opponent in Florida that's expected to be a tournament team. That could help Tennessee, especially if it can pull out a win next weekend for senior day.
And then after that, it will be time for the SEC tournament and other conference tournaments to take place. And 2 weeks from Sunday is Selection Sunday. And we learned from the NCAA yesterday afternoon that there will be replacement teams for the NCAA tournament, but that is before the tournament begins. There will not be replacement teams if the tournament starts up and then teams are unable to play because of the coronavirus situation. There will be no reseedings or bracket changes either once the bracket comes out, but placement teams will be introduced within 48 hours of the field's release, and potential at-large teams unable to meet the medical protocols by the first game of the NCAA tournament must notify the selection committee on the Saturday night before the field is announced, and replacement teams will be determined in one of two ways, depending on whether the team withdrawing is a one-bid conference automatic qualifier or from a multi-bid league. And one bid leagues are able to designate a replacement team if their automatic qualifier is forced to withdraw. And if a team from a multi-bid league, whether it's an at-large team or an automatic qualifier, is forced to withdraw, the last four teams not selected as an at-large team in the original field will then be ranked 1 through 4 and designated as the replacement teams. Once the tournament begins, there will not be any replacement teams, so forfeits could come into play. Let's hope that it doesn't get messy, but there is a potential for that, as I think most people would expect.
Yeah, I mean, we're just in the era of coronavirus, in the era of COVID, and making progress, kind of getting out of that. We're slowly returning back to normal, but it's still there. We've seen Tennessee's schedule have been altered a couple of times, especially at the beginning. You've seen the Lady Vols schedule been altered, and you hope it doesn't come to that, but the NCAA committee is trying to take some precautions to ensure that at least initially they can get that tournament up and going, and then from there you hope that nothing interferes from the games.
Hey, Joel, how good is Michigan right now with another impressive win, this time blowing out Iowa last night?
Yeah, we were talking about it yesterday, about what teams we believe would be most likely outside of those four projected number one seeds, Ohio State, Michigan, Gonzaga, and Baylor. Alan Bell said yesterday, yeah, Iowa's definitely that next best team that you would think. Michigan absolutely pummeled the Hawkeyes last night, controlled the game from the get-go. And so for Michigan to follow up that big win over the weekend against Ohio State to then beat Iowa the way that it did, really impressive performance from Juwan Howard's team.
Michigan is 17-1 and has won 6 straight games. All 6 of those games have been won against top 30 teams by KenPom.com's rankings. That's pretty impressive. Juwan Howard's done quite a job there at his alma mater at Michigan. This will help the job of Bill Belichick. Some players who opted out this past season confirmed they're coming back. Dont'a Hightower, Patrick Chung, Marcus Cannon on the offensive line will return to the Patriots. What do they do at quarterback? That's a big question, but I'm sure Belichick will be happy to get some key players back for the 21 season.
Hey, could be Marcus Mariota time. You don't know. I mean, that's kind of the latest rumor here, but getting those players back for sure will help New England. I mean, not only did you lose Tom Brady, you lost, I believe it was 4 of your top front 7 on defense. You know, losing Hightower there at linebacker, Chung in the secondary, that'd be a welcoming addition back to that Patriots team for sure.
We'll have more items for you to follow this afternoon on Sports 180. But the big hitters: Tennessee at Auburn tomorrow in basketball. We'll talk about that. Ty Simpson's announcement coming up later today, and Josh Heupel, 1 month in now. Today marks, tomorrow will be 1 month since he was hired, so he closes out the first month today, and we'll be talking about it on Sports 180 this afternoon. Alongside Joel Silverberg and Eric Kane, I'm Josh Ward. We'll come back and talk to Tennessee basketball associate head coach Mike Schwartz right here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Welcome back into Sports 180 on this Friday afternoon. Thank you for being with us today. Alongside Eric Kane, he's in for Heather. I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg is with us today, too. And we are pleased to welcome to the show on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline Tennessee basketball associate head coach Mike Schwartz, ahead of Tennessee traveling to take on Auburn tomorrow. Mike, we appreciate the time as always. How are you today?
Oh, doing great, Josh. Eric, good to speak with you guys.
Well, coming out of the win against Vanderbilt, what were your biggest takeaways? What did you like about what you were able to get done? What did you look at maybe in the film of the game and say, okay, this is what we still need to work on moving forward heading into Auburn tomorrow?
Well, I think the positive thing with the game was we liked what our defense did in the game. I mean, obviously they hit 13 three-point shots, and that's a lot. And, you know, you give them credit, probably about 5 of them were really difficult shots that they made. Like we said, when we break the film down, it's not always the end result on everything. Sometimes it's how it happened or the process. And we like to say, was it on our terms or their terms? And we thought 5 of the 13 came on our terms, and they made great shots. So they're a high volume 3-point shooting team, and the ball went in for them. So they made 13 of them. But from outside of that, from a standpoint of defending and holding them where we wanted to field goal percentage-wise and keeping them at 58 points, we were pleased with that. On the offensive side of the ball, the area we know we got to continue to get better is with the turnovers. You know, we scored 70 points. BJ shot the ball well. Jaden got the ball where he wanted to get it to, playing the point guard position, probably the most he had played it throughout the season up to that point. So there were some really positive things, but just some of the careless turnovers, some of those possessions that we gave up, And, you know, it's an area that we've struggled with at times when we've lost, and it's no different. We want to get better at that when we get back on the court today. So those would probably be the two biggest takeaways going into Saturday.
Hey, Mike, good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us. You look at Victor Bailey Jr. in the last couple of games. I mean, he's really found his shots. Of course, he kind of went through a lull there after starting the season off hot, but now it's back. And, you know, what are you seeing from Victor here lately to where I think he was made 5 of the 6 three-pointers the other night. He was 5 from 8 from downtown. What's working well for him right now?
Well, you know, when he started playing at the point guard spot, he had to shift his focus a little bit to from strictly scoring to doing some other things. And, you know, that it almost in a funny way, ends up helping his scoring. And that's what happened, you know, when Santi was nicked up a little bit with injuries and, you know, we had some lineup stuff when Josiah had to be out. So this kind of year is just like that. I mean, like we just talked about, you know, Jaden's playing a lot more point guard right now than he had been. So when VJ took over that role of playing that position for a couple weeks in practice and for a few games, I think what happens is you start focusing on other areas, and then kind of it helps take the pressure off of your shooting. And that's what happened with VJ. And he's really shot the ball well. He simplified his game. He started doing other things. And, you know, we're great to see it, and we want him to finish the season that way. But that would be probably, other than the fact that he stays in the gym, honestly, Eric, and he continues to work. He's as hard of a worker as there is in the program. He's so diligent about it. And so just staying focused there. But sometimes just the mental side of basketball in this game can play out that way. So as he shifted his focus to the point guard spot, he actually started shooting the ball better, which is great to see.
We're talking to Tennessee Basketball Associate Head Coach Mike Schwartz. And over the last few weeks, you've had guys who have been in and out. How much adjusting have you had to do with lineups based on player availability? What do you think you figured out there over the last couple of weeks with different lineups that have been on the floor?
You know, obviously, whether it be injuries and some of those things, then that small little break we had before, I believe it was the South Carolina game, and what we had to do with that with some of the, just protocols, contact tracing protocols, and thank goodness everything turned out to be okay. You know, you just – different guys have to step up, and it's no different than we talked to this team about in June and July. This was going to be a season of resiliency, a season of being able to prepare for the unexpected and be ready when your number is called. And that's probably – that formula is probably not over yet, to be honest, Josh. I would imagine we'll be in another game or as we get into Nashville and hopefully after that in postseason – where people's numbers are going to have to be called and they're going to have to be ready even if they hadn't been playing a whole lot or had been at a different position leading up to it. So I don't know if it teaches us anything specific other than the fact that what we had said and what we talked about as a team, that you have to be ready in a year like this. It's like no other. It's like no other day-to-day. It's like no other when it comes to looking ahead. I mean, obviously, we know we just got a game added next Sunday versus Florida. We won't be playing midweek next week, so we adjust our schedule that way. And we just stay very optimistic and very positive in terms of keeping everybody ready. And it might be playing a different position. It might be playing when you hadn't been playing. And we're just going to stay in that mindset to finish up this year.
Yeah, Mike, you mentioned not having a midweek game next week and having to adjust that schedule. What does that adjustment look like? Is there another off day in there, more rest, more film time, or just more practice? I mean, how do you adjust that schedule with no midweek game, no travel, anything like that?
Well, we haven't fully, got into that right now. It's all hands on deck, and we're all focused on tomorrow afternoon's game. But would imagine there'll be a little bit of everything, to be honest with you. I think there'll definitely be a little bit more time off. I mean, we're at the end of a long season right now, and a season that really has been going somewhat since June in different ways. So I'm sure if we can take advantage of an extra off day or an area where we have some guys that are banged up, and we've had guys banged up, which is no different than any other team in the country, and we just happen to have a week off late in the season. Some teams got it mid-year. Some teams didn't get it at all this season because of the way it is. And some teams had way more off time than they wanted to because of COVID protocol. So we will address it as we, after tomorrow. But probably it will consist of a little bit more time off for guys to get their bodies right going into a stretch where we'll be playing a lot of games, hopefully, in back-to-back nights or multiple games per week in terms of the SEC tournament. It'll probably also consist of a lot more film and breakdown as we reset and get ready for Florida, opponent we haven't played in a while, and we know they beat us very handily, so it'll be a lot of film. And then it will, as we get later in the week, it will be straight preparation for Florida. So you try and get a little bit of advancement as we get into Nashville in terms of the guys' bodies and physical rehab, and then it'll all be preparation for Florida and what comes after that.
We're talking to Tennessee basketball associate head coach Mike Schwartz ahead of Auburn tomorrow. What stands out about the Tigers? And I ask that question with the exact status of their talented guard, Sharif Cooper, not being known. But what do you see with Auburn, who you'll play on the road tomorrow?
Yeah, a really talented team, a team that they're a lot better than their record. And we know that, and that is, we obviously do not know the status of Sharif Cooper, one of the most dynamic players in the country, one of four players, I believe, that's averaging 20 points and five assists in the whole country. And we're preparing as if he will absolutely be playing tomorrow at 12 Eastern. So, but just a team that we know they're going to shoot the ball. They shoot the ball from volume, from behind the arc. They're a team that has scored 109 points in a game so far. They won four earlier in the season versus South Carolina. They're a team that won four out of five at one point in SEC play. So, again, a lot going back to that, the COVID stuff we had talked about, injuries, this kind of year, you don't want to just look at, okay, they've lost three in a row. That honestly, to be speaking with you guys, it's irrelevant. I mean, they played Kentucky to a one-possession game. They've been in some close games this year. Again, they won four out of five at one point. We know how dynamic Sharif Cooper is and the rest of the roster, particularly shooting the basketball. And they have a program that has won, and they have players on their program that have won. So we know it's going to be a great challenge for us tomorrow when we go in there, and our guys got to be up for it.
Yeah, talented program, and won a lot of games the last couple of years. And, you know, Auburn right now in the series kind of has the upper hand, five-game win streak in the series. But, you know, talking about irrelevant stats, that might be one because every team is different, and a lot of these guys that are contributing on the roster right now, you know, haven't even played Auburn. And so how much, if any, does that play into a factor, you know, for guys on this team right now that Auburn has won five straight in the series?
Well, I'm sure our guys are hungry. I mean, it's no different than teams that that we've had a successful streak against, and they come in really hungry, and it's no different for us. We know that they have, and a couple of those games have been with championships on the line, and so there's no doubt about it that our guys have, because we have some players that have been on the teams that have lost to them. But it is irrelevant in terms of if they have new players or not. I mean, Alan Flanagan was on the team last year, and, you know, he's one, you know, Devin Cambridge was on the team last year. They have players that have been part of beating us here recently, and our guys know. But the reality is this, Eric, is that at this time of the season, when we know so much is on the line, we only are promised, you know, at this point, three games left in terms of Auburn, Florida, and the first round of the SEC tournament. And with everything going on, you can't even say that. You cannot even say that because of all the things that could come up at any time in terms of COVID and game cancellation. So our guys are locked in, whoever it would be tomorrow. They're excited to play. We know that potentially, if everything goes right, they're seeding on the line at the SEC tournament. They're seeding on the line for postseason tournament. So whether we had a win streak or they have a win streak, or it had been something that has been, you know, 500 over the last few years in terms of the opponent, our guys are ready to play. They're excited to play, and we'll be ready tomorrow.
Well, Mike, safe travels. Good luck as you get ready for Auburn tomorrow. We appreciate you making time for us as always, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a great one.
Mike Schwartz, Tennessee basketball associate head coach, right here on Sports 180. It'll be Tennessee at Auburn tomorrow, noon tip-off. We'll have all network coverage for you at 11:30 tomorrow morning here on the Sports Animal. That's a quick turnaround. It was a late game on Wednesday night for Tennessee on the road, and then an early game tomorrow for Tennessee again on the road. We'll come back. We're going to shift to Tennessee and SEC football. Barrett Salee of CBSSports.com coming up next. With Eric Kane, I'm Josh Ward. You're listening to Sports 180. We have a midday sports minute for you right now on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Good Friday afternoon. Welcome back into Sports 180. Thank you for being with us today. Eric Kane is here in for Heather. Joel Silverberg with us. I'm Josh Ward, and we are pleased to welcome on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, Barrett Slee of CBSSports.com. Barrett, I want to talk some college football with you. First things first, were you successful with the NBA Top Shot line?
I was.
So you got a pack. Is that how it played out?
I got a pack. I got, and anybody who wants to give me five figures for it, I am totally game. Because I got one.
Okay, this is a big deal. I tried to pull it up and get in line. It said I was like 119,000th in line, and I guess it wasn't going to work for me. So I'm happy for you, but
808.
There you go. See, Barrett Salee getting it done.
Hey Barrett,
I don't even know what to do now.
Hey Barrett, when you look at least for Tennessee fans right now, it's a big announcement day for Ty Simpson, 4-star quarterback in state, Martin, Tennessee, and I know you're familiar with Ty. How big of an addition would it be if he were to surprise people and pick Tennessee? Obviously a big one, but it looks like coming down to the home stretch, it's Alabama or Clemson.
Yeah, it'd be huge, obviously, because Tennessee needs all the help they can get. He could battle for a spot right away, and obviously it would be a huge, huge momentum boost to a class for Josh Heupel that really, I think, is going to define the early stages of his career there. Like you said, still going to be an uphill battle. I think everybody's sort of assuming Clemson or Alabama at this point. Nobody really thinks Ole Miss. That's out of the equation now. But if Tennessee was able to get him, that would resonate a lot because I don't think there's a lot of respect given from other coaching staffs toward Josh Heupel and his staff from a recruiting perspective. And that would change completely if they were to get tied. So yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. You can watch it at 3 o'clock on CBS Sports HQ. But if it happens, I think not only fans, but a lot of coaching staffs will look at Tennessee in a very different way.
Barrett Salee is with us, CBSSports.com, and as he mentioned, CBS Sports HQ is where Ty Simpson is going to make that announcement coming up at 3 o'clock Eastern time. Barrett, what about Tennessee's current quarterback room, which includes Hendon Hooker, the transfer from Virginia Tech, Brian Maurer, Harrison Bailey coming back, and then Caden Salter, the talented true freshman? What do you think about that room of quarterbacks? How would you kind of handicap that race for this upcoming year, at least at the start of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think Hendon Hooker's got to be the guy, at least right off the bat. He's sort of, he's not going to transfer to Tennessee and then stick there through all the turmoil without a shot at a job. And so I think that would obviously suggest that he's going to be that guy. I thought Harrison Bailey was fine last year. He was in a tough situation, obviously, but I thought he was fine. I think the fact that he's there will certainly provide some competition. And, yeah, I think it's one of those two guys. I'd love to see Harrison Bailey be it, though. I'd love to see Harrison Bailey go out there and capitalize on the recruiting hype and basically let it be known that this is going to be his team, because that's not going to be something that's short-lived. If he's able to earn that job right out of the gate in Josh Heupel's first year, then that sets the tone for, I would think, a long and prosperous career on Rocky Top. So it'll be an interesting battle. It's one of several interesting quarterback battles this offseason in the SEC.
Barry, you go to the other side of the football, and new defensive coordinator Tim Banks has got his hands, his work cut out for him, rather, and taking over for a unit that struggled at times last year. But you're losing Henry Tuolotuo. You're potentially losing Kovaris Crouch. You're losing Bryce Thompson to the draft. Losing a lot of talent on that defense. How do you see, what needs to happen, at least in the short term, for Tennessee to kind of get back on track to have some type of success next year on the defensive side of the football?
Well, they just need to find ways to pressure the quarterback. That's the biggest thing. Tennessee, I don't think, did a great job getting quarterbacks off their mark. They need to get pressure up the middle. They don't necessarily have the bodies to do that this year, and I think that's going to be on that staff to really develop the talent that Jeremy Pruitt got in last year's recruiting class and the one before, at least the players that are left, because it has not been what Tennessee fans signed up for. And so I think that's the biggest problem, biggest goal is to get pressure, try to force some mistakes. And if they do that, then they'll be in a situation where maybe they get some fields and maybe they at least give themselves chances against teams that maybe, at least from a talent perspective, ahead of the game.
Barrett Salee is with us, CBSSports.com. You noted that it's February 26th, so 2nd and 26. What stands out if that down and distance comes up, Barrett?
I think the Alabama fans remember those numbers fondly. It is 2nd and 26, which is a holiday for them, the Tua pass to Devontae Smith. And I still can't believe that whole game was just, it was wild. It was, looking back at it and seeing all the things that happened and how many chances Georgia had and how many times they shot themselves in the foot or didn't capitalize, it really is remarkable. So, but yeah, 2nd and 26, it's a holiday for Alabama fans. And I'll never forget, I was right there. Devontae Smith ran right in front of me down the sideline. In fact, if Georgia fans wanted to pay me a little bit, I could have run up there and tripped him. But that didn't happen, obviously. But it was, man, that was such a, those kind of plays make you just love being a part of the business and value being a part of what we do, because that's a moment I'll never forget.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's a butterfly effect play, but, I mean, it's a huge one, right? Obviously, there's the championship, but think about the flip side. If Georgia gets a stop, which you kind of feel like is going to happen now after, I mean, Tua makes his worst play and his best play on back-to-back plays there, but
yeah.
If Kirby already has a national title in year two at Georgia, he already has things going in a great direction. Think about how that changes the conversation. So, I mean, what a just monumental play for Saban and Alabama, all they were building, and what was kind of left out there on the field for Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think that if that hadn't happened and Georgia would have won that game, I think the next year's SEC championship game wouldn't have happened. I remember being in that building when Jalen Hurts saved the day the next year, and you could feel the tension even when Georgia went up 2 scores in the first half, when they went up 2 touchdowns and it was 21-7. It was almost like the impending sense of doom. And look, as a Braves fan, I know that feeling very well. Like, I know exactly how that feels. So well-schooled on what they're going through. But, if they had that national championship, I don't think that feeling of doom and inevitability would have been there. So it does. It's a butterfly effect. I mean, think about what would have happened if Kirby was able to sell a national championship in year two. It would, I think, have absolutely accelerated that program and made them more than just a sort of peripheral type program. They have been solid. I mean, look, they played in the SEC championship game for 3 straight seasons with a shot in the playoff on the line. Like, that's a huge deal, but it certainly would change the feel around the program, and certainly would have changed that SEC championship game the following season.
In the last week, Tennessee, back here in Knoxville, has released 3 players out of their national letter of intent in the 2021 signing class, and Cody Brown, Dylan Brooks, and Jamarian Gooch. Jamarian Gooch is already committed to play at Missouri. And so, with Henry T. in the transfer portal, looking like he's going to go to Alabama potentially. Tennessee's got about 6 spots right now still in this class, and I would expect Josh Heupel to be very active in that transfer portal between now and the season kickoff. Who are some guys or at least some positions that Tennessee's got to target to try to add some immediate help right now?
Yeah, edge and linebacker. I mean, obviously with what's gone on this past week with Bryce and Henry Toto. But yeah, I mean, I think that's, and you bring up an interesting point that Tennessee, it almost feels like is, excuse me, willing to release kids, because of the timing of the Pruitt firing and all that. It seems like Tennessee's just kind of resorted to the fact that, okay, if we're going to rebuild, we're going to rebuild. And we're not going to sit here and fight it. And that long-term may come out to benefit Tennessee if players start wanting to go the other direction and go to Tennessee after getting a release. So I think there's that aspect of it, too. And I think there's also, obviously, less of a concern about roster management, knowing that there are so many ways to build a roster now. You mentioned the transfer portal. Josh obviously can – convince seniors to come back. I think they have until next week to decide if they want to use that 3-year of eligibility. So there are a lot of different ways to go about it, but I think Tennessee needs edge rushers. They need linebackers. If you can solidify the front 7, if you're Tennessee, then you're doing all right. And I think that is where they're going to hit the portal hard. You've already sort of seen it when they got Big Cat Bryant from Auburn. Now, obviously, there's a little bit of drama there. But yeah, I mean, I just think that that's obviously where it's hurt the most, Tennessee. And it's the spot they have to focus on for the rest of the year. And here's the thing, guys, too. I know the transfer portal and all that stuff is big. But think about all the FCS kids who just started their season. When their season ends, they could be studs. Like, there could be some really, really good players that just started playing college their seasons this year or this week. So I think that'll be a big, big focus for Tennessee and for everybody, really.
Barrett, before you go, thumbs up, thumbs down to an extension for Brian Snitker, Braves manager.
Love it. Absolutely. Look, the guys won three straight NL East titles with teams that were still in rebuilding mode. So he gets so much crap, and it's like, what do you guys expect? Like, he's got young players who are getting better, and he's getting them one step further every single year. I don't know. What do you expect? To beat the Dodgers? Like, it's kind of hard. So I love it. I'm so happy he's back.
Yeah, I agree. Don't snicker on Brian Snitker. Glad he's locked up there with the Braves. CBSSports.com. All right, thumbs down to Josh, thumbs up to Brian Snitker. CBSSports.com is the website, and CBS Sports HQ will have Ty Simpson's announcement at 3 o'clock, so you can tune in there. It's a free stream all the time, CBS Sports HQ. Hey, Barrett, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much. I know you're going to be out a little vacation time next week, so enjoy, and we'll talk to you again sometime soon after that.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks, Barrett. Barrett Salee, CBS Sports, right here on Sports 180. We'll come back, hit the face-off. With Eric Kane, I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg will set us up there with five tough questions. We have a lot to get to, a lot of Tennessee football and basketball talk for you this afternoon here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back in on Sports 180. Thanks for being with us. We'll hit the face-off. Thanks to Marble City Family Chiropractic coming up in just a moment. We have a lot of Tennessee football talk coming up in hour number two of today's show as Ty Simpson's going to make his announcement, and the Vols are underdogs going in. If there were odds here, Tennessee would not be the favorite. Let's be clear there. But he's also a guy that really likes Tennessee, and fans are very well aware of Ty Simpson. He's also a five-star quarterback from inside the state, so that's going to get some attention. And he's choosing among Tennessee, Alabama, and Clemson. And I think Tennessee fans are tired of seeing them have success in the recruiting trail and hoping that that doesn't happen today, along with hoping Tennessee can land it. But we'll talk about Tennessee's chances for an upset coming up in the next hour. And you'll also hear from Tennessee coach Josh Heupel, who has been on the job for a month now. So that's coming up in the next hour. Grant Ramey of Go Vols 247 is going to stop by coming up at 2:15. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee against Auburn tomorrow. Auburn tomorrow, Florida a week from Sunday at home, and then that's it for the regular season. Then it's postseason time. So we're less than 2 weeks away from the start of the SEC tournament and conference tournament play around the country. As I mentioned, Eric Kane is in for Heather today. I'm Josh Ward, as Joel Silverberg sets us up with today's faceoff.
You want some? Come get some.
Head-to-head, toe-to-toe, let's go one-on-one with today's face-off.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man.
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock!
Alrighty, Joel, what do you have for us today?
Are you blaming Josh Heupel if Ty Simpson goes elsewhere?
No, Josh Heupel would get 0% of the blame. And if Ty Simpson goes elsewhere, which is the expectation right now, it's the circumstance. It's the situation that Josh Heupel has inherited. It doesn't take a lot of thinking as to why someone might choose Alabama or Clemson over Tennessee.
Yeah, I think if anything, you need to give Josh Heupel credit for climbing back into this race. I mean, I think he was on the job a couple of days later. Ty Simpson announced his commitment date. And from there you said, oh, well, Tennessee must be out. But Heupel's been calling him and zooming him just about every single day. Ty Simpson said a lot of great things about Heupel and staff. So I don't think Ty Simpson will choose Tennessee, but if he ends up not, it certainly would not be Josh Heupel's fault.
Where do you stand on Heupel 1 month into his coaching tenure in Knoxville?
Yeah, so far I think he's done a good job. Of course, you know, we don't really know anything until we see the team out there on the field. That's what matters. But the things you're seeing on social media, and I recognize the team account's not going to post anything that's not great. I get that. But you know, these team building activities, dodgeball, these bonding type groups, you see in the players' comments. I think it's been pretty good. I like the staff so far, but I think it should have been a little bit accelerated in terms of finishing it off. But so far, so good.
Yeah, there's nothing to not like about what Josh Heupel has done as the head coach. Now, he hasn't had to coach any games. We don't even have a practice that we've seen with Josh Heupel as the head coach. So trying to make any kind of determination would be silly right now. But in terms of what he's done or what he's attempted to do with building relationships with the players, I like.
Should Olivier Kumwa eat into John Fulkerson's minutes?
I think Kumwa should play a little bit more. And I think he's one of the positives of player development as this season has gone along. Now, we haven't seen a lot of him over long stretches, but you know, John Fulkerson has continued to have issues. So I would look at lineup construction, and I would give Olivier maybe more of an opportunity. I would also go small ball, four guards, and Eve Pons probably more.
Yeah, I would as well. And you know, the question is, should he eat into John Fulkerson's minutes? Absolutely. Now, that doesn't mean you're giving up on John Fulkerson, because we all know what John Fulkerson can do. We've seen it before, but right now he's, you know, not a shell of himself. He started the other game the other day, taking two shots quickly, getting 4 points, playing good defense, and then nothing. And so Kumwa's come in and he's played sharp. So yeah, I would allow him to eat into the minutes of John Fulkerson.
Was extending Brian Snitker's contract the right move by the Atlanta Braves?
Absolutely. This is going to be year 46, I believe, in the Braves organization. He's coached all over, longtime Braves coach, and took over on an interim basis in 2016. The team was 9-29, I believe, and he's turned that into 3 straight NL East titles. And I think this team's starting to hit its prime. So, absolutely. Great job so far. Keep him as long as he wants to coach.
Yeah, I think you're rewarding a manager who's had success that has maybe outpaced what some expected. As Barrett Salee mentioned last segment, do you expect them to knock off the Dodgers? They had a chance to, and they could have. But I wouldn't say that they didn't because of Brian Snitker. So, yeah, extend. And if something changes, you can manage at that point if you have to make a change. But there's no reason to think about that right now.
According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, Russell Wilson's agent said that he wants to stay in Seattle. But if he was traded, he would go to only Chicago, New Orleans, Dallas, or Las Vegas. What would be the best landing spot for Russell Wilson if he leaves Seattle?
New Orleans, offense that's built to succeed. You have a great offensive coach in Sean Payton. My backup answer here would be Dallas, because if you could go to Dallas, which also has a ton of weapons, and succeed and get that star back into the Super Bowl, talk about elevating your status as an all-time quarterback. But I would go New Orleans here.
Well, my first team would be New Orleans. My backup team would be Dallas, just like you said. But since you talked about them, why not Las Vegas? You've got tight end, an all-pro tight end. You've got a competent quarterback, getting a better on the offensive line, a really good running back if he stays out of trouble. But nah, New Orleans would be the obvious pick for me as well. If I was Russell Wilson, that's where I'd be asking if you end up requesting a trade.
Hey, Kane, I like your answer to that last question there. You get the win.
All right.
I see what Joel did there. That's fine. A little Raiders love. So at least the Raiders aren't last on your list there. That would be Chicago.
That would be Chicago. I think Chicago's last on everybody's list.
Man, Bears fans. I feel for them. I do. It's a great fan base.
Yeah, really good fan base and a decent defense and a lot of great players, but just not great.
Yeah, our 215 guest, Grant Ramey, big Chicago Bears fan. We won't say to him what you said here on the air, but that's
at least
coming
they're
up
not
later.
The Jets.
You know that.
What's that now?
You know that Khalil Mack guy in Chicago. He's pretty good too. I would just shame the team that got rid of him if there was ever one. Oh, there was, wasn't there?
There was. Although we could argue which team ended up winning that trade. Love Khalil Mack though. He's a great player. That is the Face-Off. It is presented by Marble City Family Chiropractic. Get rid of the aches and pains in a natural way, thanks to Doctors Jason and Alicia Bloom at Marble City Family Chiropractic. Call them up at 766-2081 to set up your one-on-one consultation today. Start living the life you were designed to live with Marble City Family Chiropractic. That phone number again, 766-2081. 2081. We will hear from Ty Simpson coming up to begin hour number two, talking a little bit about Tennessee. As we've said here this hour, and I think most people recognize, the Vols are considered the underdogs. Now, maybe part of his goal would be to shock the world, because I haven't seen anybody predict that he's going to Tennessee other than Tennessee fans saying, hey, he's going to shock the world and go to Tennessee. But Alabama is the clear favorite, according to analyst predictions, heading into the announcement 2 hours from now.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Ty likes Tennessee. I mean, this is the home state school, and, you know, we're going to hear comments from him later on in the show, and he likes Tennessee, likes Tennessee fans, but I'm not seeing anybody predict that. I'm not expecting him to shock the world, but if he does, then hey, good Friday, right?
It would be for Tennessee fans. We will come back and discuss. You will hear from the five-star quarterback, Ty Simpson. You'll hear from Josh Heupel in the next hour. And we invite you to join us at 656-9900 alongside Eric Kane and Joel Silverberg. I'm Josh Ward. You're listening to FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.